Morning. I hope you are ready for a feast. Ready or not, here it comes. Thanksgiving is this week. I hope you've gotten your groceries. I hope you made your plans. And most of all, I hope that this Thursday you'll be able to take some time. In the midst of all the cooking, in the midst of all the busyness, the shopping, the football on TV, I hope you'll take some time to get with those close to you. Talk about the things that you're thankful for. Some years it's easy to look at life and find the reasons to be thankful. Some years, through the circumstances, through the setting of life, can be harder to find. Whatever circumstance this year marks for you and your family, whatever food you have on the table, whoever you have sitting around the table, know that as we're gathered here today, we have the greatest gift to be thankful for. We have a gift that the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, originator of all good things and giver of all blessings, who loves us, who gives us each breath that we take and each day where his mercies are new and his faithfulness abounds. It's in him that we take today to prepare for a feast. This time of year, and actually this passage that we're going to talk about today, always reminds me of a song. I don't know why, but it always brings me back to a song called Big House by Audio Adrenaline. Does anyone in here know that song? Couple? So you guys can help me how it goes. The chorus goes, "Come and go with me to my father's house. It's a big, big house with lots and lots of... It's a big, big table with lots and lots of... A big, big yard," and you gotta do the actions on this one, "where we can play football. It's a big, big house. It's my father's house." You know, this is the third and final week in this series, and we've been talking about preparing for a feast. And we've come a ways from where we started. So now we look at this picture of a feast in the Father's house. A time where we get to sit down with God our Creator. And we look forward to the day that He invites us and brings us in to Him. And Luke 14 is where we've been, and that's where we're going to continue today. But first I want to look back, because what Jesus does is first he gives some instruction, and now he's going to tell us a story to end this meal that he shares with an unlikely group. So first off, the instruction that we've already received began with the attitude of the meal. That attitude affects everyone at the table and actually beyond. That attitude centers on the humility that Christ exemplifies in his own life, and that we are supposed to be a mirror with our hearts and in our own lives to him. Connected to that comes what Jesus instructs second. It's what Jesus instructs second, but it's what Jesus shows from the start of the meal. It's that our invitation to others springs from the humility that we have a list of people that we are to invite to this feast that we find in Jesus. One reminder is that we see this played out in Jesus' life and even in this scene, as the one that Jesus sits down to in this house is, he sits down with a meal with a Pharisee. Someone kind of in the same building but on the other side of the aisle from Jesus religiously most times. We also see that there's a man who is sick and hurting who came and crashed the party along with all of the other guests. those we know of from the text, teachers or experts of the law. Presumably there was a few of Jesus' disciples there, maybe even all 12 of them, which if were the case, would be a crew of fishermen, tax collectors, political rebels, royals, and generally speaking, mostly misfits. And so Jesus' instructions don't faint away. They don't fade away. They instead ring true in his actions, in his life. His words are practiced out. And as Jesus is about to tell this story that he ends the meal with, there's a voice that calls out in Luke chapter 14, verse 15. It's a voice from just what we know as one at the table that recognized what others might not have seen. People were focused on the meal, but this person saw past the parable, and sticking out from this pericope of Jesus' lecture, we hear exclaimed, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast of the kingdom of God." Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. There's a start to Jesus' parable that he's about to begin that recognizes this was setting up an eternal truth. Really, it recognized that this whole meal that Jesus used as a teaching point was just a small reflection of a grand story laid out in Scripture. As we look at the story that Jesus tells, let us be like the one who calls out what is past the shadow, looking forward to the blessing of sharing in a meal in the kingdom of God. Let's be able to say, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." So Jesus tells his story. In verse 16, it says, Jesus replied, A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, "I just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." Still another, "I just got married, so I can't come." The servant came back and reported. He reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, "Go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." "Sir," the servant said, "what you ordered has been done, but there is still room." Then the master told his servant, "Go out into the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be filled." And he ends it. He says, "I tell you, and not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my banquet." We learn quite a few things about this feast that we've been preparing for from the teaching that Jesus gives here. First, we learn that many are invited. And many are invited. It says it pretty clearly in verse 16. It says, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests." This stretches us back as we look at the story of God, and we see that God called Abraham for the purpose of bringing many guests to himself. This whole idea that we see in Genesis 15, verse 5, chapter 22, verse 17, Genesis chapter 26, verse 4, when God says, "I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the skies." In Genesis 12, 2-3, God says to Abraham, "I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people of the earth will be blessed through you." This whole promise that God makes emphasizes that there would be many, and there would be hope for many, many more. Next, we see that the host sends his servant. when God sent Jesus to this world, he would come as a servant, one who would reveal in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, "For even as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." One who would teach in Mark chapter 9, verse 35, he says, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and must be the servant of all." One who would show in John chapter 13 as the one who knelt down and washed the feet of those he feasted with. Jesus was the servant sent. But we recognize that many didn't receive this invitation. But instead, Jesus tells us in this parable, many began to make excuses. "I can't because of this. I shouldn't because of that." It wasn't an old thing. It wasn't a new thing. It wasn't something that has gone away. "Jesus, what you're calling me to is too hard. Jesus, I want to follow you, but I don't want to give up this sin that I've held on to. Jesus, I want to do what you say. But Jesus, I don't want to put the effort in to walk beside them for so long. Jesus, life with you is just too scary. As we look at these things, we have to ask ourselves if we're the ones who have begun to make excuses in our own lives, in our own walks with Jesus. I really hope that we aren't. Because the next thing that we see is that the owner of the house became angry. And you know, this is something that really jumped out at me at the last couple of times that I read this. Because we don't usually think of God in this way. But we do recognize that God is upset when we don't choose him. And I wonder if we realize and we recognize that God wants us that bad. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, God says, "You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." Deuteronomy 4, chapter 4, verse 24 says, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 reminds us that the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God does all he can to reach us because he wants us that bad. He goes to the extent of sending his son down to this earth to die on the cross because he wants us that bad. He wants to share life with us. He wants to share a feast with us. He wants to share eternity with us. And so many times there are excuses that come up. Contrary to what some believe, God is not this tyrant trying to look down for any reason just to throw us down into hell. The reality is he's a gracious father doing anything he can, going to every extent to invite you into his family so he can spend eternity with him. And when we or others choose differently, we see here that it hurts him. But the amazing thing about God is that he doesn't waste that. God doesn't waste that which he has prepared for us. Instead, he opens the door and lets even more in. Because the host comes back to his servant. He says to his servant, he says, "Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys in the town and bring in Are you guys ready for it? This is where you and I come in. It says, bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. If you were here last week, do you remember exactly who Jesus told us to go after and invite? It's exactly who Jesus told us. In verse 13, when Jesus says, go out, don't invite this group. He says, the group that I want you to invite, in verse 13, Luke chapter 14, he says, invite in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Are we starting to get this? Are we starting to understand where God's heart is? He says, go and reach out to the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. The people who are exactly who we identify with. Because we look at our lives and we recognize more and more that God reached out to us when we were poor, crippled, blind, and lame. God says, you've been rejected before because of me. Or that people have rejected me when they've been reached out to. There is still work to do. There are still more to reach, and we need to reach out to them because there's a reality. There's a reality that they may miss the banquet. And that's a far greater picture than missing out on a Thanksgiving meal. Folks, we are fighting a real battle. And God is doing everything to open the door to give us the invitation to come to Him. And so just three things to take home from today. Three things to take home as we prepare for a feast. The first is what excuses are we making? Like I said, God is opening the invitation. God has sent His Son. God has done the work. God has made a way, truth, and life through Christ Jesus' Son. What excuses are we making? Second thing I want you to take home is invite the outcasts. There's so many people in this world that are hurting. And God calls the church to reach out to them. It goes into the third thing. In verse 22, there's a lot of hope. Because the servant comes back to his master and says, what you sent me out to do is done. And he says, but there's still room. There's still room, folks. God's love for us is not diminished when we bring others in. In fact, His love is so great and His love is so overflowing. It should be in our hearts that we can't help but to bring others in. We serve a God that says there's more room. If you're a believer, that means that for you there's more room to invite others in. If you've never made that decision, if you've never looked at who God is, there is great news that says there is more room. Come on in. And if you want to talk about what that means, we'd love to talk to you today. But right now, would you stand with me and let's pray and lift up to God. God, we sang the song earlier that says, Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. God, we look at this this feast that you've prepared for us. This feast called heaven, being in eternity with you. God, we recognize that you have opened the door, that you have sent your servant, that you have prepared all and it is ready. God, we pray for those whose hearts are closed right now, that you will open them. We pray for those who are hurting, that they will know your healing. We pray for those that are down and in the depths and in their sadness, that Lord, you are a God that brings us to thanksgiving for your blessings. And God, we pray that you show us those today. God, during this season, we give thanks to you. Because God, you are good. You are faithful. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are love. You are hope. You are grace. And God, we come to you today knowing that we need you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.